All right, we're continuing on in our the New Hampshire Confession of Faith that we the church has adopted since her beginning, and Olmsted Baptist Church, and we're taking a look at this 12th article of the Harmony of the Law and the Gospel. And in this article, it states in this second part that the law of God is holy, just, and good. And one reference to that is Psalm number 119. And so I want to take this opportunity to just walk through this psalm. We've done so in two other messages, kind of an introductory and then getting through about roughly a third of it. And so we want to continue with that tonight. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. And in this psalm, most every verse is dealing with in some fashion, that which has been uttered by the Lord, okay? And I think that's a good way to take it and boil it down. In that, we see that the psalmist refers to this, refers to that which has been uttered by the Lord as his law, or his testimonies, his ways, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his word, okay, and so we see that early on in the book in verses 1 through 9, those first eight words used for that which has been uttered by the Lord is given again. Just as a reminder, some synonyms to go on with these references, these different references to that which God has said, his law, of course, his precept or statute. A lot of these words are synonymous one with another, and so you kind of have this crossover that happens. The law, namely the first five books of the Bible, or the Ten Commandments even, can be drawn into that. His testimonies, or the Lord's witness about things. The Lord has given witness about where he stands about some things. His ways, of course, and a way is speaking about a road or a course of life, a mode of action. His precepts. I find that interesting. It can be described as a mandate. The Lord has said, this is the way that it is. A statute is like the law, or like an appointment and a bound. The Lord has set some bounds, he tells us. His commandments, which is also can be defined by the word law or ordinance. And then his judgments. Judgments, that's an interesting word, speaking about the verdict or the crime and the penalty, okay? And the Lord has done that in the Scripture. Also, the Word, and the Word is described, it's got a lot of different references and synonyms, a matter, a book, you know, we have the Word of God in the Bible, right? The Chronicles, language, God's language towards us, his Word to us, or a message. And so we want to pick up here, and we've got, there are sheets here that show Psalm 119 in the Hebrew, and how it's busted up to match up to the Hebrew alphabet. And I've got those sheets up here. If you don't have those, you'd be interested in taking a look at Psalm 119 in Hebrew and how it reads from no right to left, and how it start every eight verses starts with in sequence the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And there's some references there, cross-references of the Hebrew to the Greek and even to English letters, what we would call them. Those are around here. So if you're interested in that, let me know and you can see that. This psalm is attributed to Ezra historically, and he wrote it. And, you know, this each of the verses starting with a different Hebrew letter being grouped together by eights, and each of those eight verses starting with a Hebrew letter. It's lost when it's translated to English, but the great work of the Lord is yet that his word does come through, and we do hear the things that he gives us and he instructs us in this. One thing, too, about going through this psalm, Psalm 119, is it's I have found it very convicting. Okay, it's there's rebuke in here for me. There's reproof in here for me. The psalmist, as he writes, he makes statements about how great he loves the Word of God and how it is his delight and how he longs for it and how he looks to it, and May we hear our Lord speaking to us through this psalm about the great value of the Word of God. We need His Word within us. And we need His Word in us not just from an academic just to know that it's there and know what it says, but we need to see the application of it also. We need His Word in our hearts so we might not sin against Him. And we need to see what He is saying unto us. I think there's many in the world that know what the Bible says. But as far as application to life, there's lack. And so may the Lord help us to see everything that He's purposed His Word for unto us, that we might see that. We pick it up in verse number 57. Verse number 57, and so we'll just keep in mind as we go down through here and through these verses the references to that which God has uttered. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words, thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. He desires the favor of the Lord. You know, we talk about that in Hebrews, and what we find as we go through these, we find that it may very well be that this psalm, and of course other passages in the Old Testament, are the inspiration for the New Testament writers. That they delved in and knew the Word of God, the Old Testament Word, and we hear some things in here that are familiar to us that we hear in the New Testament. And so I find that interesting. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. His prayer unto the Lord. I thought on my ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Maybe the brother's ways weren't that right. And so the Word of God brings conviction and shows us the right way. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He got about it. He got diligent about it. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. The verdicts of the Lord. All right? That word judgments. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? Think about the Lord. Think about the Lord. Bring something to heart and mind. Thank the Lord for His work in your life, or something in the Scripture that He's spoken to you about. I am a companion, verse 63, of all them that fear Thee. I am with them, a companion of them that keep Thy precepts, or the mandates that You've given. You've given commands. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Isn't that true? I mean, it's full of it. It's full of it. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, show me your bounds. Show me your bounds. I want to see them. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Verse 65, O Lord, according unto thy word. There's a verse of praise unto the Lord and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Lord, teach me. We want to be taught by the Lord. We ask the Lord to teach us and instruct us. James tells us that the Lord doesn't upbraid those that come to Him for wisdom and understanding. And He's bountiful in it. He will. Teach me good judgment. Teach me about verdicts and the crime and the penalty. Teach me that, Lord. And knowledge. Teach me about You and what You say and how to apply it to life. For I have believed Thy commandments. I believe Your law, what You've laid down. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept Thy word. Where is the place of blessing? It's in obedience to the Lord. It's in fellowship with the Lord. It's being near to Him, not the way of man, not the natural way. Verse 68, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. Again, praise unto the Lord there about His bounds that He has set. The proud have forged a lie against me. Hear this prayer of complaint that Brother Stephen brought out. You know, we can talk to the Lord openly and even beyond the way that we could speak to the best friend that we have on this earth. We can be honest with the Lord. There's no hiding from the Lord. And there's no help, no blessing in thinking, well, the Lord doesn't want to hear that from me. Now, if I'm complaining or murmuring or grumbling, what happens to us is we can take the thing that's bugging us to the Lord, and it'll kind of it'll try us as to whether I'm in the right or I'm not in the right by facing up to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That can be. You say, well, I'm feeling that way or I'm thinking that way, but I'd never say that to the Lord. Well, the Lord already knows. He's already seeing it. And so here he brings this complaint unto the Lord. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I'm going to keep your mandates. They're telling a falsehood on me, but I'm going to keep what you've said with my whole heart. Verse 70, their heart is fat as grease. Wow. How about that for a compliment? Their fat is grease. We don't necessarily see that way, but that's what he's saying. He said, they've just got it made. Brother Asaph had that, didn't he? But I delight in thy law. You know, their way is a slippery way, maybe. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might, you know, Lord help us. But it's just that way, isn't it? When we get squeezed and when we get tried and when we get loaded down, that indeed is when we're closer to our Lord. When we're brought to be empty of self, we get closer to the Lord. And may the Lord help us in that. May the Lord help us just in all those things. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than 10,000s of gold and silver. What do you think? Now, Lord help us. Lord help us. I mean, it's the truth, isn't it? But is that the way that I believe about it? Lord help. Lord help. And so we have that correction. And it's good to be corrected. It's good to introspect. It's good for us to see that. Lord help me. Lord, help me not to be covetous and desire out of way the things of the world above what the Lord is and what He says. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 73, we come on to the next letter. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. You know, it's a praise unto God to tell the Lord the obvious. But we live in a day that folks don't believe that the Lord has made us and fashioned us. You know, and the Lord is praised in that because indeed He has made us and fashioned us. The praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord it is indeed from the heart, bringing thanksgiving and praise and telling over again what our Lord has already told us. We only know what we know by what the Lord has taught us. That's good and eternal and right and from Him. And for us to proclaim it back to Him, He's worthy to be praised. And our brother does that. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, thy law. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Fellowship, because I have hoped in thy word. You trust in the word of God? Tell you what, you trust in the Lord and what He said. You meet another that's trusting in the Lord and what He said. There'll be fellowship. There will be fellowship. There will be. He's not making a proud statement. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Got out of line, and he was chastened. That's good. It's good to be chastened. Good to have a father that loves us and chastens us for our good and for our being drawn close to him. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word and to thy servant. And we've mentioned that recently. And it, I believe it's a wonderful thought to consider and to know the children of God are being spoken about, being talked about in God's throne room. Jesus is talking about me. You hearing saved? Jesus is talking to the Father about you. There's consideration there. There's communication there. There's intercession that is at hand there. What's being said? Might even be able to come up with a message on that, huh? What's being said? What's being said between the Son and the Father about us? May the Lord help us. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word and to thy servant. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. Indeed, we need the mercy of our Lord, don't we? And as we have pointed out recently there in Hebrews chapter 4, right, I believe it is, that we can come to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I mean, it's there. It's there for us by Christ, by what he has done, that entrance that he's given us, that acceptance that we're being received. We're accepted in the beloved. We're joint heirs with the Son. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Your commands, your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, verse 78, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts, cleaving to the Lord's word and what he's promised. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, let there be fellowship. Remember how it was with brother Elijah? There's nobody left but me, Lord. And the Lord said, I've got thousands. I've got thousands, Elijah. Let those that... Do you ever feel lonely? We can. And I'm thankful that we have the fellowship that we have in our church. May we avail ourselves to that. And may we avail ourselves to the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ and sister churches round about. That's a blessing. Some churches are 50 miles, 100 miles, hundreds of miles from a sister church. It's that way. It's that way. And may we value that. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Lord, I want to be solid in your bounds, in your statutes, your appointments. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You know, we all need to be working and learning and working towards a time that we can take what God says and hold it forth to this lost and dying world. While we're young in the faith, we need help and we need others to defer to in that. But as we learn and as we grow, we need to grow up in the Lord that we might hold forth. This is what God says. Know what he says and know where it's at. That we might be able to, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Verse 81, a new letter. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Don't you look forward to us being completely saved? Okay, hang on with me. Our soul is saved. Our body's not yet. We look forward to that, don't we? We have great hope in that. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. I hope in thy word. He's promised it. And we know that by what he has given us in his word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Now, we've seen other brethren in the scripture. Job made his plea and made his case and his cry, his petition, his complaint unto the Lord. And it seemed like a long time before the Lord came to his aid. sometimes we just need to wait on our Lord. We need to wait on Him. Mine eyes fail for Thy word, saying, when wilt Thou comfort me? And of course, it's in us to want help right now. We want comfort right now. But sometimes we have to wait. And so, may we not fail in faith unto our Lord in giving up. May we continue on to petition Him. And may our Lord give us grace to wait when He knows it's better for us to wait. Mine eyes fail for Thy word, saying, when wilt Thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget Thy statutes. A bottle in the smoke. What does that mean? Empty? Does that mean obscured somehow? Does that mean so very troubled? A bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget Thy statutes. Look to the Lord. When it looks impossible, Jim, need to look to the Lord. need to look to His Word. Verse 84, how many are the days of Thy servant? When wilt Thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The saints under the altar in heaven, as it tells us in the book of Revelation, they say, how long, Lord, how long? And the Lord's saying, just a little while, just a little while, for you're joined by your brethren. Just a little. How long, Lord, how long? Just a little while, just a little while. We can go to the Lord with those things. How many are the days of Thy servant? When wilt Thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Vengeance we need to lay with the Lord. Not seek it ourselves, but lay it with the Lord. And this is one thing, too, about vengeance. And really, those that do us wrong, and as the children of God, and we're told that the Lord tells us plainly that the world didn't receive Him, and the world's way and those of the world aren't going to receive us. I mean, the Lord said it on His way to Calvary, as we pointed out Sunday, if they do this in a green tree, I mean, that was Jesus. That was God Almighty in the flesh. If they do that to Him, what are they doing to dry when it's just us? Now we've got the Spirit of God living within. And the thing is, really, those that abuse the children of God, and abuse and hold in disdain the Word of God and the way of the Lord, indeed, they are to be pitied. Really, they are to be pitied. To pick on the children of God, think about that. I mean, they're to be pitied. If the Lord wasn't long-suffering, or if the Lord doesn't bring salvation, their wrath and their terror will be even greater because they have dealt shamefully with the children of God. They're to be pitied. Without the intervention of the Lord upon them, it will be bad for them. Because the Lord will surely avenge His elect. He will avenge His children. He'll do that. And the thing is, don't let us think that just because it doesn't happen now, it won't be meat. It won't be a match for what the Lord would pour out. But those that would do us, treat us shamefully and treat us wrongly for the Lord's sake, may we see how it really is with them, and may we entreat our Lord for them. Which is the Lord pleased with? Those that abuse us, we say, Lord, be merciful to them like You were to me and save them, touch them. Or, Lord, sick them, get them. Which is the Lord pleased with? I think you know the answer. How many are the days of Thy servant? When wilt Thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after Thy law. It's not right what they're doing. They did that to the Lord, didn't they? They did that to the Lord. All Thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. help thou me. No better one to go to than the Lord. Who do you go to first in trial and tribulation? They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. If indeed it is Ezra that wrote this psalm, you know, he and Nehemiah were given a great task. And the thing is they were sent by the Lord in the leadership of those efforts. Don't you know they felt alone? When Nehemiah's life was threatened, don't you know he felt alone? That it was understood. He was appointed the work that he was appointed, but they both, Ezra and Nehemiah, and they were sent in that by the Lord, and it was obvious if that, from the human standpoint, if that leadership wasn't there, the work wouldn't get done. Think about it. Now, I know the Lord could raise up another. I'm not saying that, but the Lord could get the job done. I'm not saying that, but they were there alone in that call. Think about Moses. Think about Moses being responsible to lead, by the directive of the Lord, 1 million to 3 million people. Don't you think he felt alone? But the thing is with the Lord, we're never alone. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. I looked to what you said and your mandate, Lord. The wall and the temple, I get Ezra and Nehemiah mixed up, but the wall and the temple is going to be built. It's going to be built. Okay? Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Make me alive after thy loving kindness. Strengthen me, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Lord, what you said, strengthen me to do so. The next in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's a good verse to have underlined, to know that God said it. He means it, and he means what he says. Verse number 90, an interesting verse. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So praising the Lord for what he is done. But one of these words that we see mingled and hear through the scriptures that I pointed out in the beginning that you see in verses 1 through 9, that one, none of those words is found there, at least in the English. But then we see this verse 91. Let's read verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations, and indeed it is. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You don't have to worry about it big banging until the Lord does something with it. Don't have to worry about the earth burning up, melting, going out of orbit. You don't have to worry about any of that. None of that's going to happen until the Lord says something's going to happen, and he'll do it. It's not going to slip up on the Lord. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. There's a word that we haven't seen, but it is just like that of judgments or judgment. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. See, thy faithfulness to all generations, thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They, the generations and the earth, there are those that are so worried about the earth's population that if we get too many people on this earth, it's just going to be too much. The Lord said, fill it. And he meant fill it. And he'll take care of the rest. We don't have to worry about such things. They continue, the generations and the earth, continue this day according to thine ordinance. What the Lord has said, he said it will be, and it will be. For all are thy servants. And wouldn't it be good if the world and our leaders and us, we'd get a handle on that. We are the servants of the Lord. We answer to him. He is our creator. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. But in that affliction, he looked to the Lord's word, to the Lord's commands. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Those precepts, those mandates, you've made me alive by them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? I am thine, verse 94. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts, your way. The Lord's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he says. That's what the Word of God says. The wicked have waited for me, verse 95, to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I'll look to your witness, Lord. I'll look to your witness. And the thing is, even for the child of God, if the wicked would put us to death, we've gained glory with our Lord. And may the Lord help us to know that. And, you know, we'll have grace when we need to have grace for whatever we face. Okay? He'll give us that. But how can we be threatened by this world? The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. And think about Brother Ezra over there and his calling, sent back by the Persian king. To do that which he, the Medes and the Persians, right? I think I don't have that in my mind well, but he was sent back by some of those kings after the Chaldeans, after Babylon was taken, and he said, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." That's interesting. That's an interesting verse. That would be, "I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." We talk about Jesus Christ, and Scripture tells that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And the Lord Jesus points out that there is a broad way that leadeth unto death and destruction. But there's the narrow way that is him that leadeth unto life. But I think I haven't delved into this verse and taken a look at the meaning of all these words, but there's only one way of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. But look what he saves the sinner unto. More than we could ever imagine or wish. And in that sense, what he saves us and what his word directs us unto through Christ, I'm not a king, but I'm made a king through Christ. I have no kingdom, but I am made a child of the king in his kingdom. What about those that are told over there where the Lord gives talents or he gives so much money and to abide? And then he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over five cities." The blessing of the Lord is great, isn't it? And we know about it and come to it by his word. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I need to meditate more. Do you meditate? You take a piece of God's Word and just think about it, chew it over, talk to the Lord about it. "Lord, show me something about this. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Who's ever with him? The commandments or his enemies? Yeah, could be. They both are. But the wisdom of the Lord does make us wise. There's no greater wisdom than the Lord's. Knowledge of him and application of that good word and his wisdom. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." And that's what the Word of God will do for us. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." Speaking about the teachers of this world, in Romans chapter 1, it tells how the wise of this world have become fools by their own wisdom. But I tell you what, you take up the wisdom of God. Take up the wisdom of the Lord. Take up the wisdom of his word. "I have refrained," 101, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." Obedience. "I have not departed from thy judgments." Thy judgments, the verdict and the crime and the penalty. "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." You know, we are put to the test in this world to refrain from the judgments of the Lord regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord spelled it out with Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're put to the test. Will we stick to that judgment of the Lord or no? He made a statement in that. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do we need to get our heart more right toward the word of our Lord? The Lord Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Through thy precepts, verse 104, I get understanding, and indeed we do. Therefore I hate every false way. How do we know it's a false way? Because we know the truth. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. As Brother Stephen brought out this past Sunday, don't make vows. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That's what we've been given to do. But to have that desire, Lord, help me to keep it. Give me what I need to keep it. Instruct me, teach me, fill me, help me. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, we have the Spirit of God living within, but we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Avail ourselves more to it and ask and petition our Lord that the Spirit of God would have more power in us. I think that is there. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Do you worship the Lord when it's just you and him? Need to. You can worship the Lord while you wash dishes, while you drive down the road, while you're reading his word, while you're singing praise to him. We can worship our Lord, and we need to worship. Is just not reserved for services. We need to worship. Lord, I'm glad you created this world, and I'm glad you created me. Thank you. Thank you for helping me to be able to see. Thank you for the provision. How can we run out of thanks to our Lord? We can worship him in every way. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Verse 8, 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Free will. Because I want to. Not because Brother Jim said you need to do that five times a day. My soul is continually in my hand. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. Interesting verse. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Yet I erred not from thy precepts. I didn't steer away. Lord, help me that I might keep your precepts, your mandates, even when put to the test and put to the strain. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. There's no greater heritage than the word of our Lord, his testimonies, his witness. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. The perseverance of the saints is certainly a doctrine that's taught in the Scriptures. But don't you want to? Don't you, children of God, don't you want to continue faithful to your Lord until the end? Do you think about that? Do you petition the Lord for it? Well, we should. It's only by him and his strength and his power in us that we will be able to do so. I don't want to persevere like Lot, do you? Or like Samson? No, I want to persevere faithful unto the Lord, a good witness unto him, and not ashamed. 113, I hate vain thoughts, by thy law do I love. Vain thoughts. There's a lot of empty thoughts that come across the media today. Do we dabble in them and look to them? Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. No greater place to hide than in the Lord, that cleft in the rock. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He tells the evildoers this, and then he looks to the Lord for help. He says, this is right, and this is what I'm going to do. Lord, help me to do it. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Let me not be ashamed of you, Lord. Let me not be ashamed of your word. Let me not be confounded in it. Let me not blush at the truth of your word, but let me hope in it and look to it. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I need you to hold me up, Lord, and I'll be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes. And that will be, that has been or will be, won't it? Those that don't keep the bounds of the Lord, those that don't keep the appointment of the Lord. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. There's going to be a great refining one day in there. There's going to be a great cleansing and purging by fire. There will be. I wonder about that. That it tells us in Revelation chapter 20 when it says that the earth and the heaven fled away from the presence of the one that sat upon the throne. I wonder if it won't be, and Peter, I believe, speaks about how the earth will be consumed with a great noise and a fervent heat and a great melting that will be there. I wonder if it won't be that when our Lord shines forth in His total and complete glory, that just won't be. The children of God will be able to stand in that because of the new bodies that we'll have, but the wicked will not be able to stand. As the Scripture says, there'll be no place found for them. That's shining, isn't it? If it's something like that, no man can see my face and live, the Lord told Moses. The refiner's fire. Verse number 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I tell you what, do us well to consider about the great power of our Lord and even as his children, be afraid reverentially of him. He is a great God. Hebrews tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's speaking to the saved. That's what that context is. But I tell you what, it's good to know Him and His promises and know Him by salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And oh, what grace. Oh, what favor He bestows upon us and His promises unto us. My flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. The Lord Jesus says, don't fear the one that can just kill you. And naturally, that's who we would be afraid of. He says, I tell you the one to fear. Fear him that after he hath killed can cast the soul into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Fear him. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we point you to him. All this about the Word of God, what God has uttered. It's all fulfilled in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son, in eternity, committing to come and be a man, that He might be a Savior that's suitable and right and meet. That word meet, it tells it. We don't use that word meet. I'm not talking about M-E-A-T. I'm talking about M-E-E-T. We don't use that word, but that is so... that is so telling about the Lord. He is a Savior. He is the Savior that is suitable for sinners, for mankind. He's the Son of God, and He's the Son of Man. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. You can't save yourself. You have nothing to offer God. But I tell you what, you can trust Him in His Word. You can trust Him in His promises that He's made. You can trust His Son.